بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. The last time we discussed the glad tidings to Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها، وإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the fact that I saw you as my wife in Jannah and Aisha has made death easy for me. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with 70,000 malaika. Then the chapter, the final day, raising the curtain. On Monday morning, the iqama for Fajr Salah was called. Today is Monday also. Now Zilatul Thulatha, but it was Monday morning, Yawmul Ithnain. So the Iqamah for Fajr Salah was called out, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went forward and commenced the Salah. During the Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised the curtain covering the doorway of his room leading into the masjid and looked at the congregation while smiling in happiness. Just to understand now, the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised the curtain covering the doorway of his room leading into the masjid. So what was the situation and where the room was situated? We facing towards the Qibla in the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those of us that have been there, Allah partake us all over again inshallah. Then if you look to the left hand side, there's a door there. If you exit that door, then you come into the courtyard of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the courtyard, there was another door there that went into his room. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam used to come out from his room into the courtyard and then the door into the masjid. On seeing his blessed face beaming with nur, such was the delight of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that they almost broke their salah out of extreme happiness. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we did not witness a more pleasing sight than the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming to lead the salah and thus began to move backward. This was Salatul Fajr. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured towards him to complete the salah and then lowered the curtain. Now, to understand this also, from the door of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to where the mihrab is, wasn't very far. To where the mihrab, when Nabi alayhi salatu performed salah, wasn't very far. The masjid was small, which you see the roda nowadays. So the roda, there was the entire, the masjid. Almost the entire masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the very last time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and they had seen him alive. His sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling at them was a clear sign that he was totally pleased with the condition of his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum when he was leaving the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to carry out such actions that when they are presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they bring a smile to his blessed face as well. Ameen. Cursing the Jews and the Christians. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that as the hour of death approached, that was the day, it was a Monday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his woolen sheet over his face, the woolen sheet over his face. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel hot, he would remove it and say, warning his ummah, لَعْنَةُ عَلَى الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدًا. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of the Anbiya, the messengers alayhim salatu wasalam, as places of worship. May Allah ta'ala's curse be upon them. Therefore we are also cautioned as a ummah that not to get involved in qabr pujari, where we worship the qabr, make sajda to them, and to make dua to the inhabitant of the qabr is impermissible. To ask the inhabitant of the qabr for something, is it permissible? Yes, what is permissible is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the wasila and the medium of the person within the qabr, that is permissible. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha further states, had it not been for that reason, the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have been exposed, meaning we would haven't buried, we should have kept him above the ground level. However, there was fear that it would be made into a place of worship, and hence it was covered. But this warning was given already, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cursed the Yahud and Nasara, that they made the graves of the Anbiya a place of worship. Wasn't for this, as Aisha says radiallahu anha, then the Ummah would have made the Qabr of Nabi a place of worship. But he sounded this, so he took heed from this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was nearing his final moments, and at this crucial time his fear was that people will make his grave into a place of worship, as the Jews and Christians have previously done. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed the Jews and Christians for this action of theirs as a warning for his ummah, so that they do not conduct themselves in a similar manner. But we find some part of the ummah, they go to the mazar, and what they don't do at these places. In India also, we saw some mazar people, when they would enter, they will kiss the feet side of the sahibul qabr of the mazar. They make tawaf around it also. And then they will make sajda to the qabr also. And when they were coming out, then they will come out walking backwards. All this now, there's no place in Sharia. Our deen is absolutely pure. There's no shirk. There's no worshipping any individual, etc. And the person in the qabr himself is muhtaj. Himself is in need of du'as. Isala sawab. So yes, we can ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the barakat of so-and-so pious person, he'll accept my du'as. But to ask that person for assistance, to help, that he'll do something for me, that is not permissible. That will lead a person to shirk, if not shirk itself. When it comes to shirk, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغَفِرُ أَيُّشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says very clearly in Quran Sharif, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will never forgive shirk. Ascribing partners to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah will never forgive. وَيَغَفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Any other guna Allah will forgive. Describing a partner to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that person can give you, that person can do for you, that person can provide for you, that person can solve your problem. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not tolerate any type of partners being ascribed to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When you go to the Rawdah and you go to make Salat and Salam, we don't make dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to the wasila. And we believe in Hayatul Nabi, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is alive in his qabr. Therefore, it is permissible that we ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to request Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on our behalf. Dear Rasulullah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for all my sins, to make me a true ummati, to allow you to intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah. That is permissible. But to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's not permissible. So even they, if that is not permissible, how can a person ask any buzruk or any wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala directly for any help or to sort out or solve any problem? So unfortunately, that is why ulama say the bid'at, innovations, are worse than even kufr at times. Because a person's entire life comes out in innovations and doesn't make tawbah. He dies in that condition because he thinks that this is part of deen. This is correct. Then all the intermingling, then the lead is going, and you find it. One thing about Rajab also, that Mi'raj, etc. As we mentioned, Mi'raj not established. Is that confirmed that Mi'raj took place in Rajab? And people have different types of Salatul Raghaib, say, Salatul Raghaib. There's so many rakats you must read, and you must do so much of Mannat, and so much of Surah Ikhlas you must read, and this and that, etc. Deen is very easy. People have it is so difficult. And then a certain type of meal has to be prepared in Rajab, or Sha'ban, and some Kheer, and some Puri. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, I don't think they ever heard of it that time, about Kheer and Puri, etc. But how people hold on to it? That if you don't do this, some bala is going to happen. Something, all superstitions in deen, there's no place in deen for. Our deen is absolutely easy. Now for those people in the world, they never heard of Kheer and Puri, what they're going to make? So it means their Rajab is incomplete. Whereas our deen is, Quran is clear, Hadith Sharif is clear. Deen is absolutely simple. But people believe all these things and all these fairy tales and old folk tales and then the old auntie tales that will come, that if you don't do this, you don't do that, this will happen and that will happen. As if now the Kheer is going to save you, the Puri now is going to take you to Jannat. Oh, the Salatul Raghaib is doing something. It's nothing. All is this ascribing some power to something besides Allah. And yes, we have all these faith healers. People go to them. And the person came crippled, half walking, and all of a sudden came. Shaitan is there, he'll do his tricks also. The Dajjal will come with such tricks. The parents that were died years ago, and he bring them to life. He'll show you Jannah, whole picture of Jannah. He'll be walking around with a projector or his live screen, whatever it may be. And he'll show you, see paradise. But the reality is, there's Jahannam behind that. It looks like some paradise, but there's fire in there. So how he'll deceive the eyes, mesmerize the eyes. وَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also they will say, إِنَّمَا سُكِرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا Our eyes have been mesmerized. It looks like that, but it's not like that. So the heart has to be absolutely clear. There's no such thing, there's no place in Sharia whatsoever. And how are we going to eradicate this? We have to speak in our homes what is the right thing. Somebody has to break the cycle. Somebody has to break the cycle of all this bid'at, has been carrying on, how much of wastage. And things that are farz we don't do. As Hazrat tells us also, you put them on the board, you send the message, Salatul Janazah, midnight. How many people pitch up? But Isha Namaz they didn't read. There's farz-e-kifaya. Farz-e-kifaya, a few people perform Salatul Janazah, the entire locality is absolved of it. No guna upon them. But we have to go. No matter what time, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 12 o'clock midnight, 10:30 in the evening, Salatul Janazah will come. But Mota didn't read Fajr Namaz today. He didn't read Zohar Namaz. So look at the priorities now. So for Salatul Janazah, he'll come. But for Farz Salah, which is Farz Ain, which is Farz upon you specifically, individually, that he won't read. For Janazah Salah, he'll be there. So all these things, there's no place in Sharia. We have to educate our mothers at home. We have two responsibilities. Hazrat explained to us among the many of them, but more, mashallah, that are involved in effort of da'wah, tabligh, tazkiyah. He says, ta'aliman islah. Ta'aliman, educating our family people all the time and rectifying them. Educating them and rectifying them. We're saying the wrong, but we're not saying anything. We're not rectifying, we're not teaching. If I don't have the ability to rectify, at least educate them. What is the right thing? The articles are there in Rajab, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. What did he do? There's nothing specific. There's no Mi'raj night. There a person has to perform some Salah on the night of Mi'raj. Salah to perform every night. Every day is Isha, every day is Maghrib. Not only in the night of Mi'raj. That a person feels on that night, I'll do certain Amal. So the remaining part of the year, I can take it easy. Every night, the person has to make an effort. So all these things we have to educate our families, educate our children, and slowly, slowly eradicate this bid'at from our life. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the Jews and Christians for this action of theirs as a warning for his ummah, so that they do not conduct themselves in a similar manner and worship the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Giving wealth in charity, this is what day? This is a Monday. This is Monday. On the final day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, when his blessed head was resting on the chest of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, O Aisha, what happened to the gold? Came to his mind, what happened to the gold? So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha replied, it is in my possession. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed her saying, spend it in charity, don't keep it in the house. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slipped into a state of unconsciousness. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regained consciousness, the first thing he inquired about was, have you spent the gold of Aisha? Or do you still have it? So for a Nabi of Allah to leave this world with anything of dunya in his possession is not befitting. So quickly release it from my possession, give it away. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha replied in the negative, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took the coins, which were between 5 to 9 coins, turned them between his blessed hands and said, مَا ظَنُّ مُحَمَّدٍ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَوْ لَقِيَهُ وَهَذِي عِنْدَهُ أَنْفِقِيهَا So he mentioned to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think of Allah? if he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he has this with him. That is, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him? Therefore spend it in charity. Shouldn't reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this condition that there are some dunya possessions by me at the time of my demise. Subsequently, it was spent that very morning, that Monday morning. This was the blessed way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam throughout his life. His disinterest in wealth was such that he did not desire to keep any wealth in his possession. Not that it is impermissible, it is permissible to have wealth behind. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his final moments, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to see him, he had one daughter. And he says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after Hajjatul Wada', Makkatul Mukarramah, I don't think I'll make it. I don't think I'll make it. O Nabi of Allah, I wish to give half my wealth in charity. I'll just leave half for my daughter. That, O Sa'ad, to spend half of your wealth before your demise is too much. It's too much. Then he said, I'll spend so much and I'll leave so much behind. This much I'll make wasiyat. No, Sa'ad. Keep it 1/3. Make wasiyat of only 1/3 and 2/3 for your daughter. It's better that you leave your heirs well off than leaving them in a difficult position. Leave them well off. Don't make it difficult for them. So it is permissible also to leave behind, but yes, to be so much engrossed in it now, that what will happen? What will happen to the wife? What will happen to the children? Banda, what will happen to you in the qabr? When you go in the qabr now, you forget what's happening in dunya now. Your journey ahead is moving. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue taking care of them. Yes, we do the best we can to secure them for the dunya, for the qabr, for the akhirat. The parting advice. Throughout his blessed life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to give important advice to his ummah. However, it is obvious that the advice that he gave at the end will be the most pertinent and the most important. Some of the very last advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were the following. Expelling the disbelievers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَخْرِجُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ وَأَجِيزُ الْوَفْدَ بِنَحْوِ مَا كُنْتُ أُجِيزُهُمْ. Expel the mushrikeen, the polytheists, including the Jews and the Christians. Expel them from the Arabian Peninsula and give gifts to the delegations as I would do so. This is Bukhari Sharif riwayat. While we do not have control over the Arabian Peninsula and thus we cannot remove the disbelievers from it, we do have control over our own lives, homes, minds and the minds of our children. We thus need to ensure that we do not become indoctrinated by their ideologies, mindset, culture, ways, media, education system, and even movies, especially those that have idols, etc. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the command that remove the mushrikeen, the polytheists, the idolaters, those that ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the Jews and Christians, expel them from the Arabian Peninsula, and by extension, remove them from your hearts and your lives also. Completely. So when it came to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their mindset was very different. Their value system was different. They were the first addresses of Quran Sharif and Hadith. How they understood their ideologies, their mindset, how they understood the concepts of Sharia, concepts of life. Today we are so far from there. And life has become so complicated. Whereas their life was so simple. Whether marriage was simple, business was simple, everything was simple. Yes, where they had to spend their time, that's where they invested it. Today the whole thing has turned around. What is simple, we made difficult. What is difficult, that now because of environment, because of a culture, that has become easy. Come on, example, we give, to have a simple nikah, to have a simple, easy nikah is difficult. To have a simple, easy nikah has become difficult. And to have a difficult nikah has become easy. Tipsy-turvy. Others say too, we become so tipsy-turvy following the West that even like our country also, if you drive on the left-hand side, what do you say? He's driving on the right-hand side. The right side. What is left side? What is right side? Now what's right or what's left? So if you drive on the right side, you say the wrong side. So which side is right, which side is wrong? So even this is upside down. Don't know now what is right, what is wrong. For the men now, their pants are getting longer. And for the women, upside down is getting shorter. Men, their hair is getting longer, women getting shorter, upside down. The men don't know whether they are men, ladies don't know whether they are ladies. So everything is tipsy-turvy. Don't know which way to move in life. Because their culture is like that. Tomorrow it will change, then we follow them also. So the entire system of Islam is different, which is a natural system. Which is a natural and a normal system that they made us feel to, that we are abnormal. That we are doing it wrong. And they are doing it right. And we see now already in the past, almost 100 years now, how everything is backfiring. The women that they put out there are trying to get back home now. Tired of this life. Being out. And now they're waiting to get back home. It only looks like they are happy. Only looks like they are happy. Once family, you took her somewhere to meet someone that is a white woman. The white woman asked Abba also, that how did you come? He said, to my husband. So where is he? Sitting in the car waiting. You mean he'll wait for you? He said, yes. Why was the problem? He said, you've got a very good life then. Then who'll pay for everything? No, he'll pay for it. When you don't contribute to the house. She says, no. Don't you drive? No. So you're a queen then. I got to contribute half my salary. I got to fill my own petrol. I got to do this and I got to do that. And he just does the rest of it. Value systems are different. And then too, they're working so much and they're earning so much. But then too, is that enough? There's no barakat in their lives. That is why this whole affair of Gaza, etc., that one we sent out also, the Sheikh Azhari mentioned, a Sahaba radiallahu anhu's mindset in regards to life also was different. That an ummah returning to shuhada and to rubble, what is it about? If it's based on numbers, then kam min fiyatin qalilatin. How many a small group? How many a small group of perseverance overpowered a large group? Bi-idhnillah. The power of Allah. They won the war. Small group persevered, all the destruction, finally they had to evacuate, go back home, and what they got in exchange, nothing really. This had to destroy and go back, and achieved nothing whatsoever. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا. Hostages, release, ceasefire. Quran Sharif says that if you revived or you saved one life, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, a person who saved one life, it's as if he's saved entire humanity. Value system is different. And so many different ayat also. Shuhada, Allah Baqa said, don't think they are dead. They are alive by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. They're getting rosy also. They're enjoying themselves. And so many different ayat. No wealth, no food. Spend, don't spend. Oh, Bilal, continue spending. Allah will give even more. Don't fear poverty. But the mindset of a believer is very, very different. So how to take out all these ideologies, mindset, culture, ways, media, education system from the hearts of the Muslims. Right now, the Muslim Ummah is so bent on education. They have to put the children in this white school or in that school. They have to get the best education. And what's the best education? Mom and dad, we don't have time for you. You all are busy. You all are, that's what it's about. No time for khidmat. No muhabbat. Is a cold world right now. We give you the best education. Hazrat says we've given them the worst education. It's not the best. Best education is Kalamullah. It's Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif, Fiqh. Now we give them so much of everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Parents are proud, paying the fees, can't understand what is wrong with the brains. And we can see the effects of it. We can see the effects of it when the ummah left the house where they're supposed to be, they left. And all the problems have started. Problem upon problem. And which woman is happy? Which woman is happy? Which husband is happy? So this entire system, even they now, in this so-called first world countries, the women are trying to come back home now. Even they are trying to come back home. That how do we come back home? One brother who was sitting in Japan, he was explaining to us also. He said, they are programmed to work, work and work. Programmed. Everything high-tech, everything is tartib war, in sequence, organized, this pattern, this system, just to work. And educate the girls, give them the best of education, so to say, best of education. Jobs already secured. They've got multi-million dollar companies that are operating in Japan. You get a position there, good position. Then they have the accommodation, very smart, ultra-modern apartments also. So busy, and all just with the dream in front. I'll have such a beautiful life, such a comfortable life. Everything will be set in dunya. It's another natural system, absolutely unnatural. But he doesn't understand what's good for him. Only time you know what's good for you, if you understand wahi. Quran Sharif, what the Creator is telling you, that all creation, this is good for you. So he says they have an entire system how to get everybody working, and this is what you'll get, already prepared for them. Apartments, work, and the work atmosphere also, everything is programmed. And big money involved, they're earning very well also. But Allah Ta'ala's system, that a woman's position and her place is at home. Allah Ta'ala made within her system to produce the men of the ummah. To produce. Woman craves for love. She's got muhabbat and love to give also. But they're so busy in their career. There's no time to get married. There's no time to have children. Then Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah Ali says, woman does not get married or she remains as a widow for a long period of time. Then as she goes into 45, 50, menopausal, then he says things become a bit loose and faulty now. Now she'll begin to hear things, begin to smell things, get irritable. Certain habits will develop, whether keeping packets away, whether keeping cloth away, and all, don't touch my things. But it's all, you can see all this is all fuzul, but insecurity. No, I need these things, I need these things. And just, what is this, stashing away and keeping away. Fear. They don't want to share emotions with. So they start talking to themselves also. Start thinking weird things, hearing sounds. This is an unnatural life. So these women also, he says, when they come into the 50s, now their eyes begin to open. What happened to my life? Where did I invest it? I got all the money. End of the day, I come home, enter into a super, ultra-luxurious apartment with all the technology. But when she walks in there, like a qabristan. There's nobody there. So how do I fill the gap? Buy one cat. Put one dog. The ummah is doing the same thing. Buy one cat. As I see people now, they love the cat so much now, that now they're putting pictures of the cat everywhere too. Cat, this cat, did this cat. He said, ye koi kaam hai. This is some work this. Only to run behind the cat, take picture, and send here. And there. Is that? Then they're keeping dogs, then they're keeping cats. He says, where is insan supposed to give love to insan? Now they got so much to give, now they look after the cat, after the dog. We hear so many reports in UK, multi-millionaires left the entire estate to his English pit bull, for the dog. Nasib Dar dog it was. But the whole estate. Why is very loyal to me? We're hearing about it. So the entire, now family must look after the dog because he got the entire estate came to him. But in English law, is a valid will. Sharia law, invalid. As you, upside down. There's a valid will and this is an invalid will, Islamic will. If the disbelievers are removed from our lands, but their ways, inclinations, mindset and culture have influenced us as seen in our dressing, lifestyle and wedding functions, then even though we may wear Islamic clothing and bear Muslim names, we will not be true Muslims at heart. Indeed, this is one of the greatest challenges of our time. So we look like Muslims, but Hazrat says, we're not thinking like Abu Huraira. We're not thinking like Osman and Ali. We're thinking like John, Peter and Paul. What his vision is, which way he's going, we're following that way. We Abu Huraira, which way he went, to the Darul Ulum, Ashab al-Suffa, Ta'alim, Ta'allum, Zikr, Ibadat, Khidmat, Da'wat, all these were shining stars till Qiyamah and beyond. But the mind doesn't go that way. The mind will go this way. Peter is saying this, Paul is doing that, John says, yes, yes, yes. But we're wearing Islamic garb, but what's within the heart, the inclination, is that towards that of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Indeed, this is one of the greatest challenges of our times. It is for this reason that together with making dua for the mushrikeen, Jews and Christians to be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula, some of the senior ulama used to make dua. Allah Ta'ala remove their ideologies, mindset and ways from the hearts of the Muslims. Just today, one of our senior ulama of the country sent a message in the ulama groups, maybe it came out other groups also. He said, please make a lot of dua for what we call Jaziratul Arab, for the Arabian Peninsula, which we normally call Hijaz and Muqaddas. Hijaz refers to Hijaz, the Arabian Peninsula. Muqaddas, the one which is most honorable. So he says, make dua for Hijaz and Muqaddas. What moves have been made over there? That every step you take, they're putting now girls everywhere, girls everywhere, girls everywhere. Whether the cashier, tailor, checking into the hotel, when you come to the airport, all these are plots of the kuffar. And your eyes are going to fall. How many of you are going to control their eyes? How many are chatting and being sweet now, just for checking in the bag, just let us go through? How many of the ladies are flirting with the men just to get a better price of the abaya? All these things are happening right there. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam cautioned and warned us. He said, make a lot of dua for those lands. Make a lot of dua for those lands. And then he says, I still recall Haji Bhai Padiya Rahmatullah Alayhi. Ya Allah, Haramin Sharifin ki hifazat farma. Hijaz al-Muqaddas ki hifazat farma. Says then Zamana, in the 80s and 70s, Haji Sahib would make dua. Ya Allah, protect Haramin Sharifin. Protect Hijaz al-Muqaddas, Arabian Peninsula. They used to think that, why Haji Sahib is making this dua? Protect Haramin Sharifin, protect Hijaz al-Muqaddas. They now understand that time what dua he was making. Allah, protect these lands. All these fitnas that they're bringing to there, bihayai, immodesty, and nobody's feeling anything. No pain in the heart. Those that are staying there, those that are going to visit also, there's no pain in the heart. There's nothing that we feel also. How come all this is happening right now? That even at the Baytullah, the Roda Mubarak, we don't make that dua. Allah, remove all these things from these places. Let pure deen prevail in our lives and every part of the world. Allah Ta'ala give us so faith to make